Hello and welcome to your GCSE Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most fascinating topics in the entire specification, Topic 3, Biological Psychology. This topic is all about how the biology of your body, your brain, your hormones, your genes, shapes the way you think, feel, and behave. And yes, we are going to talk a lot about aggression, which makes this topic genuinely gripping. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode has everything you need. We'll cover the core concepts, the key studies, the exam tips, and I'll even quiz you at the end. So let's get started. Let's begin with the building blocks, the neuron. A neuron is a specialised nerve cell that carries electrical signals around your body and brain. You need to know the key parts. The cell body, or soma, contains the nucleus. The dendrites are branch-like extensions that receive signals from other neurons. The axon is the long tail that carries the signal away from the cell body. The myelin sheath is a fatty coating around the axon that speeds up signal transmission. Think of it like insulation on an electrical wire. And at the very end, you have the axon terminals, which pass the signal on to the next neuron. Now, neurons don't actually touch each other. Between them is a tiny gap called the synapse, or synaptic cleft. This is where neurotransmitters come in. Neurotransmitters are chemical messengers. When an electrical signal reaches the axon terminal, it triggers the release of neurotransmitters from synaptic vesicles, tiny sacs, into the synaptic cleft. These chemicals then bind to receptor sites on the next neuron, and the signal continues. This whole process is called synaptic transmission. Key neurotransmitters you need to know: serotonin, which is linked to mood regulation. Low serotonin is associated with aggression and depression. Dopamine, linked to reward and pleasure, and noradrenaline, involved in the fight or flight response. Examiners love asking about how recreational drugs affect this process. For example, MDMA floods the brain with serotonin. Cocaine blocks the reuptake of dopamine, meaning it stays in the synapse longer, intensifying its effect. These drugs essentially hijack the brain's natural communication system. Now let's talk about the brain. The part of the brain most relevant to aggression is the prefrontal cortex, the area right at the front of your brain, just behind your forehead. The prefrontal cortex is responsible for impulse control, decision-making, and regulating emotions. When it doesn't function properly, people may struggle to control aggressive impulses. This brings us to the most important study in this topic, Rain et al. From 1997. Adrian Rain and his colleagues used PET scanning, that's positron emission tomography, to compare the brains of 41 murderers who had pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity against 41 matched controls, people with no history of violence. The key finding was that the murderers showed significantly reduced glucose metabolism in the prefrontal cortex. In other words, that area of the brain was less active. Rain concluded that this reduced activity might impair impulse control and contribute to violent behaviour. This is a landmark study because it provides direct biological evidence linking brain structure to aggression. For your exam, remember, 41 murderers, 41 controls, PET scanning, reduced prefrontal cortex activity. Those are your four key facts. Now, a word of caution that examiners love to test. Rain's study is correlational. It shows a relationship between reduced prefrontal cortex activity and violence, but it does not prove that the brain abnormality caused the violence. There could be other explanations. This is the classic correlation versus causation mistake that costs students marks every year. Please don't make it. Let's move on to hormones. The hormone most associated with aggression is testosterone. Higher levels of testosterone have been linked to increased aggression, dominance, and risk-taking behaviour. However, and this is important for evaluation, the relationship is correlational, not causal. It's also worth noting that testosterone levels can rise in response to aggressive situations, not just cause them. This is a chicken and egg problem that makes the hormone explanation more complex than it first appears. Now let's look at evolution. The evolutionary explanation for aggression argues that aggressive behaviour has been naturally selected because it provided survival advantages to our ancestors. Aggression helped males compete for mates and resources, and helped protect territory and offspring. Natural selection means that traits which increase survival and reproduction are passed on to future generations. This is a powerful idea, but it's also reductionist.
It reduces complex human behaviour to just genes and survival instincts, ignoring social and cultural factors.